You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 60 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
I have all of eternity to be humble, but I have a few short years to be pretentious.
We are back. We haven't really spoken.
I like how you always say we're back.
Well, we're back, just in case you didn't know.
Every podcast when they do a new episode is back. It's not like they tape them all in a row and then cut them up.
Okay, I'll mix it up next time. That, of course, is the voice of Anthony Jeselnik.
Famous comedian.
He's working on a new, 30 minutes of material? What do you got right now?
I'm going to find out tomorrow night at Largo, as people who listen to the podcast regularly. I don't like new listeners. If this is the first time, turn it off.
We're getting some new listeners. Shout out to our new listeners.
Shout out to Johnny Come Lately's getting on the bandwagon. It's full. Go to episode one and try to make your way to the front of the line. I don't like cutters. I do the Comedy Store a few times a week, work on new stuff, and then I do it all at Largo all at once and see what I got. I'm thinking I might be at the half-hour mark. I'm going to find out tomorrow. You guys are coming. Both Greg and Erica are going to come to see the show. Going to meet some people. There's a very cool comedian, one that I'm very excited is doing the show, a first time doing the...
You're going to meet some people, or we're going to meet some people, Erica and...
If you guys come backstage, you're going to meet someone. I might not even tell you who you're going to meet, and I wonder if you would recognize him when you see him. But I'm a huge fan of his, and he knows someone who's performing on the show, and a new friend of mine, and then a comedian who's one of my all-time favorites who's doing the show for the first time that I'm very excited about. So it's going to be a good one.
Tease, although it's sold out, so you don't need to sell tickets.
This one might not be. This one might have a few tickets left, but we always release some day of. But by the time you hear this, it'll be too late. If you live in LA, you listen to this on the Wednesday after we record it, come to Largo. It's going to be a good one. And I only have one more in March, one more Largo show in March, and then I have to do my TV show, and I'll probably take the summer off to do some traveling and do some more writing and then come back. And I'm looking to maybe do a couple club dates at the end of the year, but probably 2021 start touring hardcore. But I'm excited about it. And Good Talk, the TV show starts very soon. Mm. I think I have like another week at the last week of February. We'll be in offices.
That's a long runway to stay on point before, you know, I guess those club shows start, because you are Jeselnik. Sober Jeselnik, and right now you're mostly sober, right? You're not you're
99.9%.
Not drinking much.
I've had two nights of like one or two drinks at dinner, not drunk, but like at a couple drinks at dinner, the two nights, and no pot all year.
And so you're keeping your mind sharp. You're writing a lot all day, right?
Not really. I mean,
you're writing, you're reading, you're setting dinners. Mm-hmm. You're focused.
Yeah, I got a lot of energy. I'm getting up early. I'm hitting the gym. You know what I mean? I'm doing all these things. And again, it's not like I'm sober, but only for job purposes, to stop my teeth grinding. And it's getting better every day. It's getting
because it is a different Jeselnik when you're in this mode. Suddenly, you're just like, you know, you're setting up dinners and you're doing it like right away. You know, you bring up the fact that you found an extra Kindle, and you ask if Ellis wants it, your goddaughter. I said sure, and then you bring it right in. You know what I mean? You're on top of things.
I am. I've done errands that I normally would never have done ever. I would have just put them off. But I've gotten rid of so much shit in my apartment, just like having energy and the wherewithal.
Right. Well, there's other times a year I feel like you probably spend an entire, you know, evening with someone and then see them 2 days later and don't remember who they are.
That's still going on. My memory's not gotten better with my sobriety. I think I have a garbage memory just because I don't care. You know that thing where people say, like, if you meet someone, you don't know their name, like, you're just thinking about yourself? I'm thinking about myself 24/8.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of this. Yeah. Well, this is where you tell the same story sometimes. You offered, we're going to go out to, there's a lot of, I got a lot of Jeselnik time coming up other than this show. Because we have the Celtics game. We've got this show tomorrow. And then we've also got a birthday dinner for me next week. And you suggested...
Don't say the name of the restaurant.
I'm not going to. One place And it seemed like you had forgotten that that's where we had gone, where we went last year for my birthday, which was one of the best meals I've had in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But it had, you know, slipped your mind.
I go there a lot. And that was it last year or the year before?
It was last year.
Last year, yeah.
Big number. It's big birthday a couple weeks here. Our producer, Erica, just had her birthday this week too.
28's a good year.
Yeah, it was really a great weekend.
Yeah, you seem much different than when you were 27. Much more mature.
Yeah, I went to the spa yesterday. I got a massage. You know, I feel rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I asked you a question. cool. Did you guys watch the Oscars?
I did. I was invested because of Parasite. I think this is the first time I've really watched, the whole end of the thing. Definitely sitting watching the big awards since maybe Boyhood, which I also was invested in, wanted to win.
That didn't
except,
win anything.
Except
did
this
it?
Time. The good guys won. Parasite
See,
won.
I avoid the Oscars like the plague. I went and got a 2-hour massage.
I usually do. The Oscars, I usually don't watch it.
But I look at who won. And then I saw comments on Twitter, people being like, shout out to Jeselnik for recommending it very early. Like, before the movie came out, I got to see a special screening and was like, this is the best movie of the year. And I was right. It's the new Green Book. And then I saw someone who said, they were like, Anthony said it will never win. It won't win Best Picture. We'll look at you now. And I'm like, it's the first foreign film to ever win Best Picture. I was playing the odds. You know what I mean? It's been my favorite movie of the year since I saw it.
Right. It's the only piece of entertainment that's ever been recommended by both hosts of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JVP.
Junior Vice President.
Separately. You know, like that was my full turn because it was so good. We had to make it, you know, the official movie of our podcast.
Just because my memory is still not that great, who recommended it first and who was on the other person's coattails months later?
It was like a week later. I saw it. I literally think I saw it opening weekend. But you're right. You did see it early somehow.
Didn't you have an award season bet with your manager? Did that come to fruition?
That was just a nomination for us.
We already closed that loop like 4 shows ago.
Yeah. But we donated some money. One of the funny things, Erica turned me on to JRVP Reddit, which I did not know was a thing. There's a Reddit category for JRVP episodes, and it was hilarious to read through them.
Don't encourage it now.
It was only like, there's only like 4 people in it who comment, but it was so funny to see like people, someone would like talk trash and then someone else would come in and so sarcastically destroy whoever talked trash. Like one person was making fun of me for making fun of Kevin Hart's documentary and then immediately talking about donating money to Puerto Rico. And that was the bet I had with my manager about Oscar nominations. Nothing to do with the award itself, just the nomination. But they were like, it's so like pretentious to talk about giving to charity. No, it is not. I do many, many pretentious things. But when you talk about, when celebrities talk about giving to a charity, they're trying to inspire other people to give to that charity. That's a good thing to do. I reject your criticism, and I refuse to give to a charity. Why don't brag about it afterwards? What's the point otherwise? Okay, I've got money and I give it to the needy. Sometimes I like to I'm doing my will right now, and I was gonna leave a bunch of money to like I had to pick what charity it was, and I was like, no, I like giving to charity in the moment when people need things, and I don't know what charity is gonna be the cool one in 10, 20 years when I die. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, there seems like there's plenty of options of ones that do good,
of course,
do good work and worthy always, causes all the time.
But you always hear like something bad, like March of Dimes, like hates gay people. Like you just hear things that you're like, oh, this would be a good one, but I don't know what if it's still going to be good in 20 years. You know, you like, oh, Wounded Warrior helps veterans when they come back. And it's like, oh, actually, they spend 60% of the money they get on parties for themselves. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. So I'd rather just give when things are needed after a disaster, that I'm going to take that out of the will.
And then give it to your god kids?
I thought about dividing it up amongst the other people, but I think I'm just going to hold on to that money. And if I die before I give it to charity, I want to be buried with it. You know, I think that will be fun. I avoided the Oscars, got a massage. But yeah, I was pleased with the results. I was pleased to see Joker only win like 1 or 2 awards, and everything Parasite won I was psyched for. I would have rather seen a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood win some stuff.
Yeah,
but
Parasite.
I
mean, I really do think it's gonna go down as an all timer, especially it's of the moment. Like, it's such a perfect movie for kind of this moment, I think, in time, capturing, you know, the incoming inequality and everything. But I think it's going to be ahead of its time, too. I think people are going to, like, look at that, and it's going to hold up. The only thing in hindsight is none of the actors got any love, which would have been nice. I mean, if you've got the best movie and the best director, it stands to reason one of those actors, especially the father, I think would have been a nice choice.
I think I'd go even further and say that any movie from South Korea that makes it to America is more than worth your time. They make amazing movies over there, and every South Korean movie I've seen, I have absolutely loved. That check it out. Like, Google South Korean movies and watch them all. I've spoken.
As a big fan of, you know, K-Town, I liked seeing, you know, the pictures of them partying in K-Town.
Yeah. Afterwards. Till 5 a.m. I once went to a Korean movie theater in K-Town and to watch Train to Busan, which is like a zombie movie that was great, another great Korean movie. And I was amazed at the concession stand. It's totally different than American concession stands. They are bonkers what they eat in movies. And in a great way. Like, I loaded up, and it's like all kinds of jerky, and their popcorn flavors are off the fucking wall. Like, they don't eat regular popcorn. They go ham. South Korea, you are on point. And I'm into it.
I don't like the fact that the cats that James Corden came out Rebel Wilson came out kind of like mocking cats.
Yeah.
Mocking how bad the makeup designers were, or the outfits or whatever in Cats. It's like, you were in Cats. Own it.
Yeah. If other
Even
people
though
have done it.
Like, we made fun of it, I don't care.
And all
you can't get out of this, James Corden.
And all the people, I saw an article where all the people who like worked on Cats,
right?
They were like, we worked insane hours to get this done, and that wasn't the problem with Cats. Was the CGI, and they're like, we're all out of a job. Like, the studio they worked for closed down afterwards. That they were like, were they thanking us? No, they mocked us, and they should be mocked. I did not appreciate that, but I was glad I didn't watch it. Even like living in Hollywood around the Oscars is terrible because all the streets shut down. Like, I'm kind of pretty much trapped in my place. I went to lunch on Saturday with a famous showrunner, a famous show creator. I won't say his name, but he's a friend of mine. And we went to lunch, and I went to the some hotel in Beverly Hills to meet him. And they're like, actually, sir, we're closing down. We're doing a pre-Oscars party tonight. And I'm like, I'm here to meet so-and-so. And they're like, oh, right this way. And it was just like us in this restaurant where they like let him eat. And
You were like, rented it out just for the two of you to eat?
No, it was like, they were like, we know you come here so much. You're like a regular, and we know what you spend, that we'll let you eat. But like, we had to be out at a certain time. And then I had to do like a podcast in Beverly Hills, this like British podcast where they were in America for a couple of weeks. It's supposedly insanely popular. And I did it, and I don't know why. But I'll promote that when I do it, when it comes out. But he's like, we got half an hour. Before you got to go to your podcast, do you want to go shopping? We're right near Rodeo Drive. And I was just like, yeah, I'll hang out with you for half an hour. We go, and he like knows we're in his car. I'd Ubered, and he has like Rodeo Drive wired. And Rodeo Drive is where like the most expensive stores in California are, like on this one street. It's like insane. Tourists go there, and everything's just like crazy expensive. And he like parks in some crazy weird like secret valet thing I've never seen before. They know him. The valet guys know him. They're like, hey, what's up? We go into Tom Ford, maybe the most expensive store on the thing, a store I've never been into. And he's like, you got to get this. You got to get this. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, no way in hell would I ever wear that. No, no. And he's like, oh, come on. Like, what about this? And he gives me a jacket. He puts a jacket on me. And I'm like, actually, this is fucking really nice. Like, I wouldn't buy it for myself. But yeah, this guy's fucking buying me a jacket. Like, okay.
He's buying you the jacket?
Well, let me tell the story. So I assume he's buying me the jacket. So I'm like, you know what? Fine. He's pushing all this stuff on me. I'm like, I'll take this. And they're wrapping it up. And I'm like, how much is it? And the guy bolts. It was almost as if like we were like outside a bar and like the window shattered and he like took off to like not have to pay for damages. And I had to turn over my credit card. And it's the most expensive piece of clothing
that
I own. I don't want to talk about it because I will be wearing it on stage and I don't want people to know that how much it is. But let's just say the jacket that I'm wearing right now is insanely expensive, and this is more expensive than that. So
well,
I was
couldn't have you have just. Well, maybe it certainly seems uncool, but I mean, can't you return? Couldn't you just change your mind and returned it like later that day? Or
his thing
or the
was
next day?
His thing was like, and I met like all the entire staff was like fawning over this guy who comes in there all the time. And he was like, now you know them. Then whenever you come here, they'll take great care of you. And then I like go home and I'm like, maybe I'll return this. And I look at the receipt, and it's like within 3 days you can return it for store credit.
Oh.
And I was just like, fuck. And I'll like think about it and be like, God, I'll regret it. And then I go upstairs and put the jacket on, and I'm like, no, this is fucking dope. Is it more than I ever would have spent on something? Yes. Can I afford it? Oh, fuck yeah. It's a couple podcasts for me, money-wise. But still, it was I thought I was getting something bought for me, and I was dead wrong. But I still like it. Probably shouldn't have told that story. Probably makes me sound like a jerk when people are dying. But you know what? I give money to Puerto Rico, and I buy jackets for myself, and I'm not ashamed. I got rid of a lot of clothes, a lot of nice stuff, things that they gave me for Good Talk, sold it, gave all that money to charity. I haven't decided which one yet, but I'm going to give it to charity. So, you know what? Let me have nice things that I get
you
tricked
into.
You
feel unnecessarily buying. Guilty. I don't think people were going to be upset with you. Maybe the Reddit board, you know, got to worry about them. Give me a break reading the Reddit comments. Never read the comments.
Oh, when there's four of them, I love it because, like, someone would say something, like, bashing the show, and then someone else would come in. Like, somebody was like, why are they so into Renner? Like, why are they so, like, Renner-focused? And it's like, hey, and I like, honestly, if I was going to engage with comments, I'd be like, listen, when you're famous, when you have a popular podcast, you get to meet other famous people and hang out with them and go to their concerts and go to their parties and get to hang out with people like Jeremy Renner. And it's fun because for someone like me or someone like Greg, who's on the NFL Network, you know, was on TV, when you're hanging out with other people, they want something from you. Jeremy Renner just wants to have a good time. He just wants to have a good time and sing some songs, you know, do some karaoke. And that's fine with me. You know, he doesn't need me to be telling jokes all the time. Jeremy Renner's just as funny, if not funnier than I am. So it's fun to hang out. But I don't have to defend myself on Reddit because other people get on and they get the show. And they like to enjoy themselves.
I mean, here's another explanation. Listen to Jeremy Renner's last album.
His only album. Go watch Snow Dogs, or whatever the fuck, and know that he's a voice in that, the main voice. The guy's multi talented. Can you shoot a bow and arrow? Can you take down a god with a bow and arrow? No, you cannot. Jeremy Renner can't.
You can try to take away Hawkeye. You can try to take Hawkeye away from Renner. You can't take Renner away from the people.
He doesn't need it. He was born for a movie. He was born. He was the newborn for a whole movie. And he was great. Better than the original guy. That other guy, he's Ben Affleck's assistant, as far as I'm concerned, compared to Jeremy Renner. But I did enjoy JRVP Reddit. Thank you, Erica, for pointing it out to me. I had fun. And they don't comment on every episode, but when they do, it's someone saying something nasty and then someone else with like a paragraph of, as if I had written it myself. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, there's a Reddit board for the NFL podcast I do around the NFL, which is, you know, pretty active, I guess. And it seems like absolute poison and torture to ever want to like read that. But I know that's not everyone else's attitude that a lot, you know, some of the other hosts like read it all the time. Seems like I never want to hear any good things about anything I'm doing either. More than the bad things.
I never want to
believe any of it.
I used to not read anything for a long time, and then once people started doing this thing of doxing where they put like my parents' address online or like list my siblings one by one, that I was like, now I need to look at this so I can report these people and get them taken down. That I look at things and nothing ever bothers me, just because I've been doing this long enough. But I remember I was looking at one thing where they were like, I was in a video and they were like, who wears a watch? Like, how pretentious is that? Like, who doesn't know what time it is? And I was like, this is so fucking funny to me. I've been doing stand-up comedy for 18 years. I'm fucking famous and rich. I'll buy a jacket and throw it on the floor. Throw it in a puddle so women can walk. That's what I do.
Although super rich guys often get into watches. That is one fascination I don't understand. Like, it's a whole, you know, culture of like, you know, different levels of nice watches and what that says about you and all the different kind, you know, like Tom Brady's super into watches. It's like, I think it doesn't matter how much money I ever had, I would never be into watches.
It's funny, I thought the same way as you, and then I got myself a nice watch for my 40th birthday, and now I kind of understand. Like, I have two watches now. One is like an inexpensive, a nice one, but not expensive. And then I have my nice watch that I wear that I can see people being like, you know what, I'll get this new one. You know, I get it, but I can't do it. And it's a good investment. Mm. One of my friends told me that his dad has like an old Rolex, and he saw that it had sold, not his one, but the same one he has, sold at auction for like almost $500,000. Like, they can be good investments if you do it right. There was a guy on like Antiques Roadshow who like passed out cold when they told him that his Rolex that he got during the war, like in Vietnam, was now worth like $500,000. It went viral. I'm not lying to you. It's a thing.
Listen to this rich guy. Rich guy problems over here. Trying to justify watches.
I don't have rich guy problems. I have rich guy situations that I thrive in.
I felt very...
That's all I have for the week. What did you do?
This is not a rich guy problem. I went down to SeaWorld last weekend. You know, it's the off season.
It's a good time to go. I know people like never been more popular.
Well, it's funny you say that. It definitely wasn't as packed as you would think. There were some like little parts of it in restaurants or whatever in it like closed. So you could tell the boom times were gone. And it was really funny on some level. And the kids absolutely loved it and would want to go back. And they're really into you know, sea creatures in general. Like, we went to an aquarium the next day. But it all was this weird sort of half-assed, like the entire park experience was like a half-assed apology for everything that they've done, which seems like such a bad move for SeaWorld and like is not going to make people there have a better time. But like right when you walk in, it's just, you know, there's signs everywhere. It's like, thank you for contributing, you know, like your dollars like help save the earth, and you know, all this stuff, like trying to convince you that they're doing all this preservation and all, you know, everything that they got in trouble for. You know, they have that movie, what is it called,
Blackfish.
And like everything in there is like a subtle, hey, we're not the bad guys that you think we are, which to me is like a depressing way to go to a theme park.
Why did you go? Like, why? You drove your family to San Diego?
They really wanted to go.
They did?
My kids. Oh, yeah. They really wanted to go to SeaWorld. And they loved it. Like,
isn't there like a Legoland?
I'm saying from an adult perspective. Oh, yeah. It's like the people that are going there, like, look, it's like watching the NFL. It's like, yeah, I know they're going to have concussions, and I know the messed up stuff the NFL did. If I'm choosing to watch the game, like, you understand what's going on here. Like, I know SeaWorld's done some things.
The NFL analogy is terrible, and you'll probably get in trouble for it. Imagine if imagine if draft players, like draft picks, were like kidnapped at birth. And then raised in captivity.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, you don't want to be reminded of all the issues as you're at the game. Like, you go into it and you know it. And it's like the people there are not necessarily the people. They've made the decision that doesn't bother them that much. But it really cracked me up. We went to, like, the, you know, the big show is used to be Shamu, but whatever. It's the whales. You know, the big whales. You know, they do
the killer whales.
Yeah, they do the show. The orcas.
Still.
Yeah, so they still do the orca show, but like it's much more about, you know, what they do and their majesty, and you know, they don't make them do as like many silly tricks and all this stuff that they do. But I really cracked up, like the lady at like as it finished, I heard multiple comments of like people annoyed that it was like turned down, basically. And one quote I actually wrote down, and it was this lady behind me who had kids with her too. And she said, yo, this was much better when they would just torture them. Which just made me laugh so hard. And I heard two other people say, and Emeka thought the same thing because she went as a kid, just like that show is not the same as it used to be. Now it's all about like, you know, it's great, and they're just kind of, you know, swimming around or whatever. And ultimately, like, the people are there that are actually there paying the money are kind of annoyed because they went as kids and they remember, you know, they put on a good show, and now it's like...
You want to see a trainer die. You want to see somebody drown.
Like the dolphin show was the same, you know, it's more about like the sustainability and what great creatures they are.
But, yeah, I mean, I loved going with you and your family to the aquarium that one day, but I would not go to SeaWorld. But good on you. Good on you. Sounds like a fun week for everyone. And now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? What's the soundtrack there, Erica?
This one's called Chanel.
Okay.
That's on Rodeo.
Viacom, you know, doesn't let us use, you know, any real songs, so Erica has to, you know, type this. What are you typing?
Why are you telling me?
I'm telling the listeners.
But there's always like a playlist that she picks from that I always like to know.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
What we're dealing with. We did not really get any notes, but it's funny. I think I told you guys last week or the week before that I had talked to the new head person in charge here at Comedy Central, Sarah Babinow, who's my new friend. And we talked for a couple hours. And at the end, she was like, we talked about the podcast. She's like, I've never listened to it. She's like the only person at Comedy Central who doesn't listen to it to find out how they're doing with me. And she's like, it's about football. And I was like, actually, no, we almost never talk about football. It started out that way and we don't do it. And she's like, oh, I'll have to give it a listen. I hear good things. And then I talked to her today on the phone and she's like, I listened to the podcast and it was all about football that week. And I was like, oh, well, it was after the Super Bowl, but I sound like a fucking asshole. Do we have any football this week? Maybe. Maybe I'll add more.
XFL.
If you know what, Sarah, if you're upset about the football, talk to Jordy. All right. Take money out of Jordy's salary because he's the one who pushes it.
People are into the XFL, the new league that WWE started.
Did
pretty well.
I think the new rules are cool, but that's not part of notes. And now let's take it down to a birthday edition of Erica Tamposi's Erica's Corner. Girl, you haven't said. This sounds like the kind of music that, like, if a driver picked me up in his car and played it, at 90% chance it's his song. Have you guys ever been in a car where the driver plays their own music?
Yes.
And then, like, waits till you ask, like, if this is them? It's the worst. It's happened more times than I can count. Erica Tamposi is our producer. She's only getting older and just as wise, I think, as she was when we met her at 26. Hasn't really let life teach her anything. But we like watching her grow physically, and she just celebrated a birthday. It seemed like she had a great time. Did work slip a little bit? Did we wait a little bit longer to get things done? Yes, but we understood that, and as part of a birthday thing, we let it go, and no one was upset. I texted her happy birthday, and she immediately wrote back like, "I'll have the stuff soon." And I wasn't doing it to.
Well, that's what I thought.
I wasn't texting.
I mean,
what
time of day did you do that?
It was at night after you reminded me it was her birthday. But I only did it just to say happy birthday. I was fine with your tardiness. But Erica, this is your birthday corner. So what do you got for us?
Well, I just figured since Valentine's Day is on Friday, we could do a quiz because we haven't done one in a little while. And this quiz stuck out to me because I think it's really funny, but also hard, but also like right up your guys' alley, if that makes sense.
It's funny. I've been single for a couple years now, and I like have no idea when Valentine's Day is. Like, it's like I don't think I used to be like, fuck, what am I going to do? You got to get the dinner reservation. You got to get a present. And now it's so nice to just be like, oh, yeah, that's still a thing.
Are you going to do something for Ellis?
I think it's creepy when people do stuff for their kids. Like, my dad would get us Valentine's Day cards.
You do something for her?
Ellis is my 8-year-old daughter. I mean, I don't know why we would leave out Walker, my son, in this. He deserves love.
Yeah, but also, my dad will send me a card now.
My parents would send cards. No, I don't do anything for my kids.
Don't you
want to
show her what she should be deserving of?
No, I mean, my dad gave us cards, and we always thought it was weird. We were like,
Yeah, my parents still send cards, and it's kind of weird. They get so much at school. It's a fun – like, they have a fun day. They all make cards for, you know, the rest of their class, and that's good. You know, I show her what a man is just by my actions every day.
Yeah,
by
but their, I think by oh,
you,
sh-
you show
special.
My special? You show my – did we just make the same joke, Erica?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, see, 28-year-old Erica knows her shit. Okay, so you're gonna ask us. You're asking us questions.
Yep, we got some.
And
quizzes.
It's the same thing where like whoever answers it first gets the point.
No, this is gonna be you guys have to decide together. So,
okay, and how many questions we got?
I think there's six.
You know what Valentine's Day is like after 12 years of marriage is we're actually going out the next night, just because there's like less traffic
Smart.
In LA.
I
Saturday nights than Friday nights. Plus, you know, reservations and everything are tricky. Valentine's.
I once dated a girl in college who we all know actually reached out to me like a week ago. She's from Thailand to say what's up. But Catherine was her birthday was on February 28th. Valentine's Day was the 14th, obviously, and we had met like a week or two before that. And I somehow convinced her that Valentine's Day would be our anniversary, and then we would celebrate a birthday too on that day. I don't know. I got in there really early and did it. That like every year she'd be like, okay, but like it's really fucked up that you do this. And I just, it was a master class in what it's like to date me. So go ahead, Erica.
Shout out to Catherine.
You guys, what was the ritual of Lupercalia, the pagan holiday that Valentine's Day is based on? It dips strips of goat hide in blood and hit people with it. You draw a name of a woman from a hat and then marry her. You kill a dog, or all of the above?
I'm going to guess B.
I was going to go B, too.
Okay, let's see. No, all of the above.
Really?
Yeah.
The goat's blood.
And kill a dog.
Any dog? Like, one dog for the whole town, or, like, everyone had to find a dog? Is it, like, trying to get restaurant reservations? We're like, oh, I got to find this fucking dog, or my wife's going to kill me.
I bet.
Like, why restrict that to just February 14th?
Yeah, it seems like there's so many dogs.
I mean, it's just like, why limit the fun?
What was believed that getting
were they just killing dogs and we're like, we should make a day out of this?
I know. What a ridiculous... I need more context for this whole killing dogs thing, but okay.
Valentine's Day is like just a way for like greeting cards to get you to kill a dog.
Imagine the cards if Valentine's Day was all about killing dogs.
They'd be made out of dogs. They'd be like, this Valentine's Day, I got you this dog and this knife.
I feel like it's been a good couple hundred years here for dogs. They're pretty prominent in this country. At this point, you know, people love dogs way more than like homeless people. Dogs need to be taken down a little bit.
That's why the homeless people that are treated the best are the ones with dogs. It's a fact. They've done studies.
What was believed that getting hit by a goat hide would bring you? Your true love, fertility, money, or youthfulness?
I'm going to say fertility.
Yeah, I'm with you on fertility. Shit.
Correct.
People, that's all they cared about back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They only lived till like they were 18.
Mm-hmm.
Their teeth fell out.
Mm-hmm.
What do people in the Middle Ages associate February 14th with? The day Eve was created, the beginning of bird mating season, the time of year women are most fertile, the day Saint Valentine was born.
I'm gonna say C, when women are most fertile.
We shouldn't keep having the same answer, but yeah.
No,
We're
supposed to
fertility.
We're supposed to have the same answer. No.
Wrong. The beginning of bird mating season.
I thought this was gonna be like a game where we talk about, you know, we go against each other.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
She explained it right off the top. I don't know what you're so confused about.
When was the famous Saint Valentine sent to death? February 1st, February 14th, April 1st, December 11th.
I'm going to say April 1st. Sounds like a good goof. You know what I mean? Sounds like a fun, hey, let's get rid of this saint.
I'll go with the first one.
February 1st?
Yeah. I mean,
February 14th. That probably makes sense. Saint Valentine.
Who's Saint Valentine? I mean, what was the deal? What was his story?
Some asshole they made up a bunch of shit about so they could make him a saint, just like all the rest of them. I was just thinking of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, the mafia thing.
Ooh. What percentage of Valentine's cards are bought by women? 40%, 55%, 60%, 85%.
What was the first one?
40%.
I'm going to guess 40. I'm going to guess the guys buy more cards than women.
I'm going to go with that answer as well.
85%.
Are bought by
women?
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's shocking. I wonder if they count moms buying this kids for their kids in school. You get that giant pack of like I would have like A-team cards.
Yeah.
It would be like Hannibal says, I love it when a Valentine comes together. Shit like that.
Which company was the first to mass produce Valentines? Carlton Cards, Paper Russ, Hallmark, or American Greetings?
I'm going to say Paper Russ.
Well, I guess we're a team. Paper Russ.
Hallmark.
I've never even heard of these.
No, I mean, that's why I assumed.
Okay, last one. What did the Victorians send to people they hated on Valentine's Day? An unattractive drawing of the person, an artificial cat's ear, a vial of vinegar, or written insults?
I think a vial of vinegar.
Yeah, I'm going to go
with
that.
Feels like a thing you would do back in the day.
Yeah.
Written insults.
Really? That's good.
You can do that 365. Valentine's Day is whack as fuck.
It says, low score, you don't know a thing about the history of Valentine's Day, and that's actually quite normal.
You are correct. It's like, on a bullshit scale, it's like Easter, as far as I'm concerned. Valentine's Day can go screw. And that was, actually, what's our comment of the week?
Oh, right, I have that. So this one, I wanted to see how you guys felt, since it kind of came from what we talked about last week. Okay, so it says, fun show.
When was this comment
but
from?
Is Wednesday.
This, okay.
Fun show, but 3 stars. Give Ari
3 stars. I feel like every comment is 5 stars or 1 star.
If you, Bomani Jones says it on his podcast every time. If you don't give 5 stars, you know, we're inclined. He says, you know, I'm inclined to think you're a hater, and I would say that's true. Give me a break.
But 1 star is like, I hate this, and you're like, you can dismiss them. But 3 stars is kind
anything
of like,
under
to,
5. This
like,
is
I'm
like
trying to make a point.
This is like Uber. Anything under 5 is you're just being a dick.
Yeah, I've never given less than 5.
What's
if I don't want to give any stars, I don't give any stars. But
right.
If I give something, I give 5. So 3 stars is interesting to me already. What do they say?
Give Ari some support. By not supporting a fellow comedian, you're no better than these other cancel culture losers. What, you're not allowed to wish people dead anymore? Question mark.
Okay.
Ari? Oh, they're talking about Ari Shaffir. We talked last week about a comedian getting in trouble for the Kobe thing.
And then
we didn't
say
his name.
No, we didn't. But you were mentioned, Anthony, in a New York Times article about this whole controversy,
I saw it.
We talked about last week. I think it was the next day after the podcast.
That's funny. That's what Catherine from Thailand emailed me about. She said she was was jet lagged reading the New York Times and saw me in it and congratulated me. And my friends, my comic friends kind of made fun of me for it. They were like, I forget what he said exactly. He was like talking about different people who make jokes the day of like deaths or tragedies. I think he said like I do more of like a nuanced magic trick that doesn't leave a mark or something like
that. Yeah, it's kind of what you said on the podcast. Always misdirection. It's a few things off of the actual.
Yeah,
tragedy.
I took it as a compliment. But I'll address this comment. And I got in touch with the author of the piece. I thought what he said about me was a compliment, but I thought the piece itself was bullshit. And I love this journalist, and I love what he writes about comedy, and I appreciate anyone who writes about comedy. But I thought he took kind of like a good people on both sides attitude in the article, which I thought was wrong. And dishonest is the wrong word because he is like, he works for a newspaper, but I don't believe that he thinks there's any value in troll comedy or enjoys it in any way. But he was like, kind of said that the article is like, there's an audience for this and there are people who do this and this guy just happened to get into trouble, as opposed to being like, this sucks. The idea that comics have to like stand up for other comics and defend other comics no matter what is insane. Like, I've gotten in trouble for things in comedy. No other comedians have had my back ever, nor do I expect them to. I'm a fucking big boy wearing big boy pants, and I stand up for my own actions, and I'm not like, guys, aren't you going to speak out for me? Like, if your fans want to talk you up, great. But the idea that other comedians, we're not police officers, who when a cop like shoots a black guy 8 times in the back who doesn't have a gun, every cop's like, you don't know how hard this job is. Like, fuck that. We're more like teachers. Who, when a teacher has sex with a student, no teachers are like, you don't get how fucking tough it is to be up there at the blackboard. Like, comics don't care that much about other comedians. And we honestly take joy in watching comics lose their minds or get taken down in some way, especially if it's a non-joke like this was. So the idea that I would have to stand up for someone or I'm a hypocrite is dumb. I'm like, I'm better at this than the person who got in trouble, and he got in trouble because he's bad at it. Why would I ever defend him? And frankly, I've known the guy for 15 years. He doesn't need defending from me. I chose not to say his name last week in order not to pile on, but plenty of people have. I saw Joe Rogan, who's one of his best friends, say that it was a mistake and he didn't like it, and that he blamed, I don't know if I said this last week, but Joe Rogan was like, I kind of take responsibility because I let Ari have an iPhone. Which is the most humiliating shit I've ever heard come out of someone's mouth. You let a 48-year-old man have an iPhone, and that's why he got in trouble. Like, you let him. That is insane that he's at that level socially. So I reject your comment. If that makes me a hypocrite, which it does not, then so be it. But don't look to me to be defending comedy. Comedy doesn't need defending. I do my thing.
Well, plus it wasn't funny. It wasn't a joke. I think that's the kind of the key part. It's like, how come you don't – the comment essentially was asking, like, why would you think it – like it's funny when it's not funny. There was nothing funny about it. It was just like a comment.
We don't do the same thing. We do very different things. It's not hypocritical not to defend it. I don't have to denounce it, but I'm happy to. And listen, we're not all friends, comedians. It's a tight community, but when someone goes down, we kind of enjoy it.
He probably didn't have his big boy pants. I mean, that's how you know you're a big boy. I mean, that's everyone knows that's how you identify big boys. They get the big boy pants. And then they talk about it.
I didn't want to give away the title of my new special, but big boy pants is what I do. I just couldn't imagine getting in trouble and being like, why are people defending me? Like, shut the fuck up. And to, in Ari's defense, he's not said that. It's his fans who were like, It literally, and all of his fans that I've seen talking about this, especially to me, literally have two Twitter followers. Like, almost like you need to have two Twitter followers and not use your real name in order to get into this debate. And you're a fucking loser if you have two Twitter followers. I don't feel bad saying that.
I agree.
If you're just a normal person and you tweet about your cats and you got two Twitter followers and you use your real name and your real face, okay, you're cool. But these trolls, with two Twitter followers, there's a reason you got two. All right? It's because you're a loser and you're wearing little boy shorts. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Look, a butterfly, gotta keep evolving. Run into a problem, then it's problem solving. And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
Speaking of big boy pants, the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project is brought to you by Hims. Maker of big boy pants. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Greg and I are cool, but you guys probably aren't. If you listen to podcasts, you're probably thinning up there. And once you notice thinning hair, it can be too late. You want to get on board early. Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing? When they can turn to medicine and science, there's a solution. Go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and it's all for men. You know, you hear about skin care, you hear about moisturizers. Those are for chicks. Hims has got the skincare stuff for men. Sexual wellness? Yeah, you better believe that if I really want to go to town, I'll pop something. You know, can I do it normally? Sure. But why have hamburger when you can have steak? It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Hims is helping guys be the best versions of themselves. Licensed physicians, FDA-approved products help treat hair loss. I'm not talking about snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Those are for dorks with two Twitter followers. We're talking about real guys with real problems, and they can get real solutions at Hims. Created by a guy who knows some men's health knows that some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. Any conversation is easier online than in person. I don't like talking to people. You're listening to me right now online. The Hims is for you. No more awkward in-person doctor's visits. You don't want to deal with those guys. They have cold hands. 4hims.com connects you to real doctors online, which could save you hours, maybe weeks. Completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions a doctor will review, and they determine if it's right for you. They can prescribe you medication, treat hair loss, and it's shipped directly to your door. Right now, JRVP listeners can get started with the first month free. First month free. 30, maybe 31 days, 28, 29 in February. I don't know if it's a leap year. Go to 4hims.com/vanity. FORHIMS.com/vanity. VANITY. That's 4hims.com/vanity. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Offer valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember,
is this still happening?
That's 4hims.com slash vanity.
Ad copy.
Thank you, Erica.
Get that steak.
Yeah. Even if you don't have a problem, you want to just be Superman in there. You know what I mean? Can you get it up? Yeah, sure. But can you put it through a tree? Are you like training in Kill Bill? You know what I mean? Can you put it through a board? Go to 4hims.com/vanity. Let's get to headlines. That's a fact, man. I'm a dodging from the action. Had no options. Had the trap, man. Suddenly. You can never be too hard.
But just the glee and the energy and excitement in your face once you started talking about going through a tree is disturbing. It was disturbing.
Get two trees in a row. See what I do to them.
It's like Anthony's finally alive. Finally feeling alive. Talking about the old tree. Let's talk headlines. Let's go back to the Oscars because we want to talk about Shia LaBeouf, who took a little heat from presenting an Oscars award in which he had a former co-host of his who has Down syndrome. And some people believed that Shia LaBeouf laughed at his friend that was next to him as Zach Gottsagen, was struggling to get some of the words out.
It wasn't even struggling to get words out. He just paused for a long time before he read either the winner or the announcements. You're allowed to laugh at a person with Down syndrome if they're being funny or if they do something that is funny. Down syndrome people, who are some of the best people I've ever met in my life, like they're very happy. They're full of life. And if they do something funny, like, and they're your friend, laugh at your friend. You know, if your friend messes something up, laugh at them. Don't treat them differently. It's not like you have to, like, stand there with the utmost seriousness while your Down syndrome friend fucks up the Oscars. Like, you're allowed to laugh.
But it was clearly, like, a nervous laugh. This is, like, a close friend of his. And his mom came out after the fact and said, it's ridiculous that anyone would criticize him at all. If anything, they wanted to applaud him because he didn't try to finish the lines for him like most people would do. He let him speak.
Exactly. When you're friends, you can laugh at your friends when other people can't. If other people were making fun of this guy for this, I'd be like, that's wrong.
Well, it's also just you're standing on a stage in silence, and even though it was only a second or whatever it was, it probably feels very, very long when you're up there. And it's an honest reaction, just to nervously laugh. I nervously laugh at a lot of like serious shit, and it's never like when I think it's funny, but it does really annoy people. One of the things that is too bad.
It was one of the mountains I had to climb in my childhood was laughing inappropriately and getting in trouble. But this guy with Down syndrome, I forget his name, would not have been up there if it was not for Shia LaBeouf being like, I want my friend to come present with me. It was a huge deal for that guy and for the Down syndrome community and people who have Down syndrome, people in their families and in their lives, that you don't want to treat them any differently. You treat them like a person, like they are, and you laugh at them when they fuck up or freeze in a moment like that at the Oscars. That I didn't watch it, but I bet it was probably the best part of the whole goddamn ceremony.
I heard that Shia LaBeouf movie's good. Your friend Katie told us that.
Which one? A Honey Boy?
The new one. The new one, yeah.
I have not seen it. I know he had two movies last year. I haven't seen either one, but I'm a Shia LaBeouf fan. I like him. Can he be pretentious? Yes, but I like my artist to be pretentious. And I think it's cool to have a friend with Down syndrome that you bring up on stage at the Oscars, and you're more than allowed to laugh. I applaud it. I think Shia LaBeouf is cool. The only thing cooler than Shia LaBeouf is his friend with Down syndrome.
You know who else is cool? Black China. May not be familiar with her. I wasn't.
Yeah, explain Black China to me. Like, I've heard the name.
I mean, I did the, like, one of the most old guy moves, you know, I've done in a while, other than going to SeaWorld.
If I could guess, I would say ugly Kim Kardashian. That's what I'm gonna call it. Yeah?
Yeah, more or less. I had to like Google and wiki her to find out because I didn't know what her background was. She's been on a number of different reality shows, including Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
She's Tyga's ex.
She dated Rob Kardashian. I wasn't familiar. She's sort of famous for being famous, one of those, but she's been on a lot of reality shows.
Did she do a sex tape?
Not that I am aware of, but I'll look into it.
Was she? And I feel like I've heard this. Was she married to one of the Kardashians?
Right, that's what I said.
She's a kid.
She dated
Rob,
the guy. There's only one guy, right, in that family? Yeah.
So she was at the Oscars, and she took a lot of heat for it.
I had seen things. People being like, "Why is she there?"
Like, people are like, "Why is this person there?" And
not only was she there, but she was the first one to show up. Like, she's the first person on the red carpet. So everyone's like, what the fuck? Like,
well, I think there's, I could be wrong, but I think the PR, you know, flax or, you know, professionals that are in charge of all these people.
I like how you're trying not to hurt the feelings of
well,
PR people. Well,
flax is the word, actually, but it's a, kind of an old-timey word. You know, it's an old-timey, like, sports, I don't, you know, word, PR flax. Maybe people don't know that.
I've heard it, but the way you said it was like...
My point is they have... it's much like Super Bowl week, which there was a good article on The Ringer by Brian Curtis, how different people during Super Bowl week, when they go to Radio Row, which is where all the celebrities and athletes go to, like, you know, sell some sort of products and do these radio interviews. There's, like, Monday guys, and then there's Tuesday guys, there's Wednesday, and then it keep, you know, the level of celebrity, you know, cranks up to where you get to Thursday, and like Adam Sandler would be a Friday guy.
Okay,
you know,
so Russell, if you're a Monday Wilson, guy, you're like,
yeah,
some dude.
You're
and
super
then
low on the pecking order trying to sell like some CBD oil. Blac Chyna at the Oscars is the equivalent of a Monday guy or Monday girl, and so they have her show up first, you know, because they don't want her to be showing up when the other big time stars are coming, and she got a lot of heat.
But even then, I feel like the Monday people at the Oscars at least are in one of the movies, have some sort of they might not be nominated.
Well, she's not connected to the film industry.
She's never been in a movie
in any way. And she says that all the grief that she took is because of racism.
This is so funny to me that she would call racism. Her name is Blac Chyna. Like, if you only call yourself Blac Chyna if you can't wait to call people racist. Like, if her name was Blac Chyna Palestine, it would be slightly worse. But just someone, like, all I saw was the headline, Blac Chyna blames racism for grief she got over Oscar's visit. Like, yeah, I bet she uses that card a lot. And I believe that this is, like, you know, an insanely racist world, not just a country. But when you call yourself Blac Chyna, you're asking for it, and when you have not been in a single movie in your entire life, have no you don't have a date who is at the Oscars for any reason. You went by yourself, got a ticket, went to the red carpet. People took your picture and posted it like you wanted, and you're claiming everyone's racist.
But this is the perfect result. They probably maybe this is giving them too much credit, but in a perfect world, this was their plan the whole time. They knew they would be criticized, and then they knew that they could come back, and they're getting a whole news cycle out of it. You know, people like us and more important people now know who she is that didn't before. Her statement's really funny, though, from her representative.
Imagine being her publicist. Imagine being that flack who has to
whether it be the fact that she's a reality star, a single mother, or the inevitable reminder that she's a former stripper, it does nothing to change the narrative that just maybe the Oscars are indeed so white, et cetera, et cetera. Further highlights the fight African Americans in the entertainment industry face, yes, even during Black History Month. I like that.
That's amazing. I mean, imagine the Oscars being like, oh, God, we don't have that many Black nominees. Can we get Blac Chyna to come at least walk the red carpet? That would do us such a huge favor. Everyone knows who that is.
There was a lot of like it felt like the Oscars. It reminded me a little bit of SeaWorld. It was a lot of like half-assed institutional apology on the Oscars. It was a lot of like, hey, we know we're getting grief for being racist, so we're going to make a lot of little jokes about it. And some were good, like Chris Rock was on there making some jokes, but like five of the presenters made little jokes about it.
I think it's weird, though, to make jokes that you're like, we're aware, but you don't really do anything
about
it.
That's what I'm saying. It's not good. I'm excited about this Blac Chyna story, though, because I Googled her to find more about her, and I saw a much better Blac Chyna headline than Oscars. Blac Chyna says she's not pregnant despite posting and then deleting a picture of a sonogram. That came from today. Well, yeah, people are probably going to think you're pregnant if you post the picture of a sonogram. Who posts pictures of sonogram and then deletes it and then says they're not pregnant?
And this happened today?
This was an ultrasound. Yeah, she, you know, she's trying to probably stay in the the news cycle. I don't know. It's a clever move. I mean, I can see why people would jump to that conclusion if you post a sonogram or ultrasound why they might have thought that.
She sounds like the worst. And even like seeing her pictures on the red carpet, I was like, Jesus Christ, this woman, like the Kardashians, for all the heat they get, they're beautiful. Paris Hilton, the original Kardashian, beautiful. Mm. Black China, Amber Rose, gorgeous. But Black China looks like all of them. Like, have you ever seen the movie The Fly? When they try to like transport someone else, but a fly gets in the thing and they come out all fucked up. Like, I'm not body shaming. I'm just saying, like, head to toe, hideous. That I bet the sonogram is hotter than she is. Speaking for the people that'll make them feel it. It's so lonely at the top, the money make them villains. I got respect for all my enemies that ain't conceal it. If people told you before this podcast that we would tell two Oscar stories, one about a guy with Down syndrome and one about Black China, which would be more offensive to people, would you have guessed right?
I would not have, and I wouldn't have guessed that. Like, I think I feel, for the first time in many, many episodes, I genuinely felt bad, for someone after a joke of yours. And I wouldn't have never have guessed that that person would have been Black China.
Someone calling this was Black China. It's like, I remember when Jimmy the Greek got in trouble for saying something racist, and Norm MacDonald was like, his name's Jimmy the Greek. This is all pretty ridiculous.
All right, let's go to another ridiculous story. I love this one. A Canadian businessman said last week in court, a case trying to settle the money that he owes to his ex-wife for spousal and child support, that he burned $1 million Canadian dollars in cash in two separate bonfires to avoid paying his wife that spousal support.
It's so funny to me that he has records of like multiple withdrawals of the cash at different banks to like get it together, and then there's no evidence of the bonfire. It's clearly lying. But the idea
such a
that,
bad lie.
And like, I've heard of stories. I was like, speaking of Reddit, I was on Reddit like a few months ago looking at stuff, and there was one that was like, what's the worst way you've seen someone like fuck up their lives? And a common one was like people who became video game addicts in college and like dropped out of school because they were just like playing games all the time and not sleeping. And a big one was like drugs, obviously. And the big one was people who were like going through a divorce and decided they don't want their wife to get the money, so they just start spending it and like losing all their money not to give it to their wife. But when you have a kid involved too, and you claim that you burned it so your wife and kid can't have any money, is so funny to me. And the judge was not having any of it.
No, the judge didn't believe it. He says he doesn't believe you.
If he had filmed the fire and watched the cash go up in flames, which I'm sure is a crime in Canada. Like, you're not allowed to fuck up money in America. That's illegal. But in Canada, maybe it's not. Maybe anything goes with Canadian cash.
He's a pretty prominent guy. He ran for mayor of Ottawa and was competitive just 2 years ago and is like a prominent businessman.
Yeah, but Canadian mayors are like stereotypically complete and total fuck-ups. I mean, the one guy like did crack and then got his job
Rob
back
Ford.
Again. Yeah, Rob Ford. Are you and saying, they loved him.
You're saying like being like the conversion rate is like being a mayor in Canada is like what in the U.S.?
I mean, we had Marion Barry. You know what I mean? Our mayors aren't saints. And Marion Barry got reelected too. I just think that like coming in second place to a mayor is like, holy shit, what did that guy do? But I think that I don't believe this guy did it. But I think it's really funny to even claim that you, like, when people like go try to get out of things legally by just humiliating themselves. It's like, remember the actor? Who's the actor on Empire? Who, like, not Jussie Smollett, but the guy who plays the dad?
Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard once claimed that his wife was blackmailing him in their divorce proceedings by threatening to tell everyone and show with photo evidence that he has a tiny penis. And he was the one who told everyone that. That I'm like, this is shooting yourself in the foot so hard.
Shooting yourself in a tiny penis
so hard that I it just cracks me up.
Well, apparently this guy, yeah, he's long defied a court order about his finances. And the real story seems to be that, you know, like you said, that he sold a bunch of properties and businesses behind her back. And who knows what he did with the money, but he was just like trying to sell all this stuff so that he could get the money and then keep it for himself and not give it to his wife or his daughter.
I mean, imagine how much you must hate your wife and daughter to burn money or think that people will believe you for it. I think it's hilarious.
Imagine the like judicial precedent though, if this worked, like everyone could just say they burnt their money. Like, I mean, like if you were in court and trying to hide money, it's just like, I burnt it.
And you're like, oh, you did? All right, cool. Telling me this story, I hate the Canadian, that they call it dollars, because when I perform in Canada, and I always love it, Calgary, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, there are others, London. I love performing in Canada, but I hate that they tell me what I'm going to get paid, and then I get a check for way less because the Canadian dollar does not stand up to the American dollar. So it's like, oh, yeah, this makes sense for what I normally make. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I get like 3/4 of that. It sucks. It sucks, Canada. It sucks.
There is a happy ending to this, though, is that the judge put the guy in jail and is fining him $2,000 a day, basically, until he comes up with the evidence of where all this money went.
So, yeah, $2,000 in ashes. And that's like $5 Canadian money. I could bail this guy out of prison right now. But give your kid some money. Burn your kid. Just for you. I don't know if this is the first time you've repeated a song, Erica, but it's the first time I've noticed that you've repeated a song. Not during this episode, but that's a...
Well, I played it repetitively one time.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was it? Was that soon ago? I mean, it's your birthday. You can do what you want to. What's our
last...
She
was going back to a big hit. We really liked that jam back in the day, you know? Back in the old...
2 weeks ago day.
Jessel, Nick, and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Chair VP.
Junior Vice President.
Our last one is a fun one. It's it's from New Jersey.
The one that involves a death.
That's true. A woman, 30 years old, is facing murder charges stemming from an attack with her husband. They were arguing in a trailer in New Jersey, where she says in self-defense, she repeatedly stabbed and eventually killed her husband with nail clippers.
Yeah, two things about this. He hit her, he gave her a concussion, yep. I believe. He hit her so hard he gave her a concussion. So I think anything goes at that point. And then I think if you can kill someone with nail clippers, you should be able to walk.
That was my reaction too.
Like, nail clippers are not that dangerous. If you can successfully kill someone with a pair of nail clippers. This guy obviously wasn't wearing his big boy pants. Because if he was, like, he's in heaven right now, or maybe in hell. Maybe he's in hell because he gave his woman a concussion, looking up just embarrassed, getting tortured, embarrassed that he died from a multiple nail clipper wounds.
That was my takeaway too. Well, it was technically, I guess, like the file, you know, the metal file.
That's a tiny little file.
It's tiny. I'm saying if someone can get me with the metal file, I got to give it up to you.
You deserve it. Even if you're like asleep, like, you deserve to die.
Right.
Like, if that's how you go out, like...
Like, if I can't survive that or fight back and that's how you go out, it's just like, it's one of those cases where it's just like, I applaud you, sir, mm-hmm. you know, or ma'am. Good on you.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
I hope his last words were like, good game. You know, like you got me.
Like, respect.
Yeah. You can't even be mad. Like, I don't understand why she's even in jail right now. She should not. She should get like an endorsement deal for nail clippers. Like, these nail clippers can do anything. They can get you out of any situation. And I think this woman should be applauded for her tenacity. And I think some of the stabs were like in the bottom of his feet. Like, she really went to town on this guy.
Yeah, that was part of it. He suffered wounds to his feet, hands, shoulders, and left leg. And I'm adding those up. I'm like, that was enough to kill him again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Defensive wounds. Maybe this guy like donated blood earlier in the day. So he was already like pretty like weak. But
yeah,
I blame the guy.
He headbutted her, causing a concussion and a broken nose.
Yeah. If you headbutt a woman, your wife, give her a concussion and a broken nose, and she takes a knife and stabs you to death, then I think she should skate. But if she kills you with nail clippers, like... She should like get money. Like, you should have to pay her a lot.
You know that in New York they have
key to the city,
the Canyon of Heroes, where they have like the teams go after they win the championship. She should go down the Canyon of Heroes, have a little ticker tape parade.
Sounds like you made that up, but I would support it. They throw like nail clippings at her. You know what I mean? Like a parade of nail clippings falling down. But yeah, good for you. Good for you. I couldn't imagine killing someone with nail clippers, but now that's all I'm gonna think about. Do they swear in the beginning of that? Play it one more time. Come with the- Is that an F-bomb?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I would think that the Comedy Central Library would not allow it, but I'm into it. I think they should all have F-bombs. Like fucking ice cream. Fucking ice cream cones. Ice cream fucking cones. Now let's take it down to...
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, what you got for us this week?
I had a book, but I had to just move it out of the way because this one felt more pressing. I'm recommending Cheer, the 6-part docuseries on Netflix, which I didn't realize has become quite a thing. I guess it's pretty popular.
Huge.
But it's worth it. It's worth all the acclaim it is getting. It's awesome. I should have known as I watched it. I didn't know till afterwards. It's made by the
Last Chance
same guys who made Last Chance U. And that's what it basically is. It's Last Chance U, but for a 14-time national cheerleading team. And I don't think you need to like sports or football or anything to be in it. I wouldn't have thought that I would have been so interested in it, but they are badasses. It's kind of, any reality TV kind of to me goes on. If the subjects are badasses, then it can fly. And these cheerleaders are badasses. It's like the injuries and everything they have to overcome, and their life is outrageous. They're incredible athletes, and then just the characters and the personalities in the show are just like awesome.
Well, I'm sure they talk about it on this. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard all my friends are obsessed with it. You know, it's the most dangerous sport in America.
Right. It seemed more dangerous.
It's more dangerous than football.
Yeah, in terms of the concussions and the like injuries that they're pushing through, and their coach is like this genius woman who's like a mix between like Bill Belichick and Judge Judy, and she kind of looks like Liz Phair, and she's a great character. But like the array of you know, cheerleaders, men and women on it are just like really compelling. And there's something really poignant about like these young people who are fighting through all this stuff for just kind of like 1 2.5 minute you know, what do they call it, routine that they do, and one kind of moment of glory that has no payoff afterwards. You know, they're not like going to become rich. In this case, maybe from this show, they sort of will indirectly, but they're not doing it to like become famous people. Like they're doing it to like max out their athletic ability, and then it's just over, and they know it's over. There's no future to it, and they just go to normal life after that. I don't know. There's something cool and poignant about
it. I agree. I agree 100%. Did you know that like the NCAA, whatever the governing body is of the competition they're in, has said that they're not allowed to do – if they do the TV show again, they give up their chance to compete.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
And that, like, they said the woman's so hardcore. Like, the woman you talked about is, like, the Liz Phair. It's like she's not going to give up. She's so competitive, she's not going to lose that for the show. So it'll be interesting to see if there even is a season two or where they go from
there. She was, like,
a
genius. I'm not kidding. She was, like a Belichick. And, like, the way she treats the – like, I don't know. It was awesome.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things. Erica, you got something?
Yes, and it's my birthday weekend, so I don't want to hear fucking a word out of either of you.
No promises.
Wow.
I'm serious.
We weren't going to say anything.
Yeah, right.
You're not setting this up well.
No, it's just I'm going to recommend the Taylor Swift documentary that came out.
We wouldn't have said anything.
And it is so cool to see the behind-the-scenes stuff. If you're not a fan of her, you would be. If you are a fan of her, you would be reminded why you are. It goes through her like sexual assault case that she brought to light, like countersuing for $1 to just kind of stand up for what she believes. She's so talented with her songwriting and all of that kind of stuff. Even if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, it's a really, really cool peek behind the curtain.
Who produced the documentary?
I think she did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not really a documentary, but doesn't mean that it can't be compelling. I bet I'll enjoy it when I watch it. It's like a docu-mercial, they call them. I mean, when they're made, but when the subject makes the movie.
Yeah, you could definitely tell.
Obviously, it's not going to be unbiased. Doesn't mean it's totally without value.
But I have a problem. Coming to terms with her political stance, like not speaking out, and there's a lot of.
But it's sort of still sort of like a political
driven piece
message
by her.
From her. Yeah,
she's sending a message.
Mm-hmm.
But
it doesn't sound calculated at all. I it's nothing against Taylor Swift. I'm not a fan, but I understand why people are. And I just don't. I just like a lot of what she does. I hate her like gang type shit that she pulls.
She hasn't in like 2 years though. She's been a total recluse and has an eating disorder now and all of this kind of stuff that she goes on, which like you said could be calculated. And there were some moments where I was like, okay, she's filming that and deciding to put that in, but there were some moments that I was like, okay, I can I can really see this.
I think we're both right, Erica. I think people have truly enjoyed it. But for me personally, if someone's involved in their own documentary, it immediately turns me off.
A lot of Taylor Swift being played on the way to SeaWorld and back, let me tell you.
Yeah, but that's your call. My recommendation, I talked to Greg about this today. Greg thought I was insane. I am recommending Weather by Jenny Offill. I believe I'm saying that right. O-F-F-I-L-L. Offill?
Might be Offill.
Offill? Awful? Offill?
I think it's one of those things, if you have that name, you just go Offill because...
Yeah, you don't want to say awful. It's not Jenny Offill. She's not like a punk rock person. She wrote a book years ago called Department of Speculation, which is one of my favorite books. Like, I recommend a lot of books. This woman writes the way almost that I write jokes. It's not just like, she really breaks up the structure that she writes in. It's very minimalist. It's very, very quick reads. I loved Department of Speculation so much that a friend asked me to borrow a book. A friend who's not a big reader was like, I'm going on a trip. Will you lend me a book? And I lent them my copy of Department of Speculation. And I was like, what'd you think of it? Knowing that, like, even if you don't like books, you can like tear through this in a couple hours. And they'd given it away. They were just like, oh, I didn't read it. And I literally cut them out of my life. I felt so disrespected because I thought so much of the book. Gave
I've
them
heard
a hardcover,
this story before.
Hardcover edition.
You're so mad about it.
And was like, I'm never lending books to anyone unless I really believe they're into it. That I love Department of Speculation. When I found out that Jenny Offill had a new book coming out, I like had it marked on the calendar. And I literally could not wait. Where I told Greg this, I woke up at 8 o'clock this morning. I looked up local bookstores and which one opened up the earliest. I had a bunch of stuff I had to do today, but I wanted to read this book as soon as I could.
This is a sober Anthony move.
I went to Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard at 9 a.m. I was the first customer. I walked in. They haven't even put the book out yet on display. And asked for it, got it. They were like, why are you doing this? And I was like, I just loved her last book. I had to read this one. And they were like, they weren't like, oh, wow, cool. You like to read. They were like, get the fuck out of the store. Went home, read it for an hour, had breakfast with an old friend, and then went back and read it the next like 2 or 3 hours. Loved it. It's called Weather.
You finished the book.
Yes. Oh, I mean, it's such a quick read and just incredible. The Department of Speculation is about divorce. Maybe the best book about divorce I've ever read. And I haven't read a lot of them, but this was amazing. And I've read it a couple times and I don't often reread books. Weather is about climate change and not like the science of it, almost like the impending dread of things aren't past the tipping point yet, but they are definitely going to be. And it's just, it doesn't take it head on. But it is just an amazing book, and I think anyone could read it in a day, whether you're a big reader or not. Certainly 2 days, and it's a pleasant read, and it flies by. I highly recommend Weather by Jenny Offill.
I love her. Yeah. I love Department of Speculation, too, and it's one of those books that I did recommend a lot and probably was one of the more memorable books of the last decade, and everyone that I recommended to that read it also loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the style that she writes in those short bursts. Kind of reminds me of your old buddy David Markson. Mm-hmm. Remember him?
Yes, yes. He's no longer with us.
Who's great too. But she's. I'm looking forward to this. I was gonna wait till paperback, but now I might have to just get it.
You got to get it. It's incredible. And I could have gotten it on Kindle at midnight last night, and not had to like. Get in an Uber at 8:30 in the morning to get there at 9, but I wanted the hardcover. I love it, and if you like me and you're like, I love Anthony's comedy, but I like the way he writes, but I'm not a big reader, this is the book for you. We recommend a lot of books that are dense and tough, and you got to be smart, and you got to put on your big boy glasses to read them. But this is a book that anyone can read. It's so accessible and just amazing that I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Wow.
I woke up at fucking 8 in the morning to buy it opening day. As if you will, and just loved it. So check out Weather by Jenny Offill. I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot about it in the coming months. But you heard it from me first. You heard Parasite from me first. This is the Parasite of books. And now Ellis, get us out of here so I can go back and read Weather again.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.